God is good. And all the time. God is good. We've tried to repeat those things enough, so if you're a guest with us this morning, you can catch on quickly because these are easy things. He is risen! Would my first two Bible readers come up here, please, Lynn and Paula? I'm going to ask them to read a section of Scripture. We, on Friday night, were in Matthew 26 and Matthew 27. And as we begin this morning, we want to start with looking at Matthew chapter 28.
This is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. I'm using the mic because it was such glorious praise that I used up my throat. But thank God, He's paid not only for every blemish, but every wrinkle. Thank you, Lord. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
Fantastic. And I shall continue with Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15 from the New Living Testament. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. Wonders, wonders. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today.
Thank you, ladies. Great job. Want you to imagine and put yourself in the shoes of those disciples who were seeing this, hearing this. Don't you think they might have thought, "This is outrageous news"? Say that with me, would you? Outrageous. One more time. Outrageous news. What do you think his disciples were thinking? I want you to put yourself in the room with the disciples this morning, as if you are one. How many are a disciple of the Lord? That works. So put yourself in that room this morning. Good Friday, they call it. We were there. There was nothing good about it. It was a nightmare. Jesus arrested Peter. Peter cuts off some soldier's ear, but then Jesus heals the guy. And they still arrest him. We all ran. There were so many soldiers. We know they didn't just come for Jesus. Certainly, we knew we were next. It was only a week ago. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and then the crowds were going crazy. They were shouting, "Hosanna!" Then Jesus goes to the temple and he is so angry. He turns over the tables of the money changers and I could barely keep up with him. We had a Passover meal with him. But it was really confusing. Jesus talked about how one of us was a betrayer. I thought maybe he was talking about me. Then Judas got up and he left and he didn't come back that night. We weren't sure what was going on. Next time I saw Judas, he came back with soldiers. We went with Jesus to a garden. He used to take us there to pray. Taught us how to pray. But this night, after our meal, was really hard. And he asked us just to stay awake with him and pray. And he went over a little ways and he started praying. And I just kept falling asleep. It happened a couple of times and I just couldn't stay awake. Jesus then is arrested because Judas comes and it's chaos. It's just chaos. They took him and we all ran from him. We all ran, every one of us. There was a phony trial. He's beaten, he's crucified, he dies. He's put in a tomb. Now we're all hiding. I don't get it. What went wrong? Peter told us he denied Jesus. But we all ran. And now, a couple of our women brought us outrageous news. We heard them say, "Jesus is risen from the dead." We ran to the tomb and he wasn't there. His body wasn't there. Just his grave's clothes. And the cloth that went over his face was all folded up. Nice and neat. Could it be true? What do you think you might have thought that night? First, they run into an obstacle. An outrageous obstacle. Joseph and Nicodemus placed Jesus' body in a rich man's tomb carved out of the rock. And 3 days later, these ladies are carrying the spices to the tomb to prepare the body further. Now, you know, in the temperature and in the climate of Israel, there would certainly be a stench that set in. And these spices will help take care of that. And they're nearly there. Now get a load of this. They're nearly there. And then reality sets in. Look at this. And they said among themselves, these ladies are running down the road with spices. And they finally are almost there. Then they say, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And what does that mean? In the Greek, it literally means megas. How many have ever heard the word megas? Mega. You know, we use that term all the time. It's huge. It's so huge. Very huge, large, exceedingly high. It's astronomical size stone. And this is a tombstone that you can find over in Israel at this day. This is from Israel. It was an astronomical disc-shaped rock, and it was rolled in a groove over the grave's entrance, over the tomb's entrance, and it would take several strong men to bring it back over. And so here's simply another angle as you go into the tomb. You can probably see in there. There's a ledge inside. I'll show you a little bit more of that. There's your trough in which the stone would be rolled. And that's literally how they buried people in that day. And the tombs were sealed by that door rolling shut. And they never went back into that tomb until a year had gone by. And once the year had gone by, they went back in, gathered the bones then by that time of that person who remained, and they would put them in an ossuary box, if you will. And that was the space up on that ledge where several family members would be buried in ensuing years and generations. But consider where their hearts were now. These guys are brokenhearted. They're confused. They don't understand what's going on. And Jesus had done so much for them. And he had helped them. He had strengthened them. He had healed them. He'd saved them out of where they were. They just weren't thinking of all the practical stuff at this time. These ladies just went to be with him because, you know, the Bible does say we love him because he first loved us. Anybody in this room ever received the love of Jesus? Are you glad for what Jesus has done? If you're here this morning and you don't know him, I've got good news for you. I got outrageous news for you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. You go, I didn't sin. Well, we could count that one right now, pride. Okay, we'll take that one away. No, we all need him. We all need him. That's what the Bible says. And he's the forgiver. He's the one full of mercy. And we love him because he first loved us and proven it. What's the obstacle between you and Jesus? For them, it was a great big stone. Got rolled away. Jesus rolls away the obstacle between you and him this morning. He rolls it away. No matter how big it is. Come on. Can you be honest with me? People let us down. Can you be honest enough with me to say, I've let some people down too? Sometimes we need forgiveness. Sometimes we blow it, but Jesus rolls away even the outrageous stuff. I know if he can help me, he can help you this morning. We're not going into my past right now, okay? But what's the obstacle? So, outrageous obstacle, but it leads to Jesus's outrageous power. Say that with me. Outrageous power. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. The stone couldn't hold him. The devil couldn't defeat him. Miracles happen when Jesus is resurrected. Listen to what the Bible says. This is absolutely powerful. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. We're going back just a little. Watch what it comes to. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, God's idea, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. How'd you like Uncle Charlie, who died 30 years ago, to show up at your door for Easter dinner today? Wow! Incredible. So, what was the result? When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. They feared greatly. In the Greek, that word is phobeo. Anybody ever heard of the word phobia? Phobeo is the Greek word, and it means to frighten, to be alarmed, to be in awe of what had just taken place. And then the veil is torn from top to bottom. I want to tell you, it's God's idea to come to you and to me. It's his idea. How many know you're never going to be able to work hard enough to get to God? You'll never be good enough on your own. I wish we could be. We like to do good works and thank God for those who do. But you can't be good enough to save yourself. So God tore that veil from top to the bottom. That veil was probably 60 feet high, 30 inches wide, and probably 3 to 4 inches thick. Now, what we're talking about is the temple, or the tabernacle, the temple, if you will, of the Lord in Israel. And there was the entryway where there was a curtain. And then you come to the holy place, and then you come to the most holy place, or what's called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of God's presence, an ark that represented the presence of God, was. And the high priest only went in that room once a year. And this thick veil was the one that stood right in front of that room. That's where the veil was. And that veil, they literally said, took hundred priests to gather together to manipulate this massive, heavy veil. And God shred it like it was a thin piece of paper. And nothing could keep God away from you. Come on. Nothing. Nothing was going to keep God away from you. Jesus on the cross said, "It's finished." And God said, "It's enough. I'm coming to my people." To turn to each other to say this morning, "He came for you. He came for you." All the while, Jesus keeps moving toward you. God tears away the veil at any separation. You've got outrageous obstacles, but He's got outrageous power. Oh yeah, and by the way, there's a picture. I took that picture, 2,000 years old. No. That's the Ark of the Presence of God inside that veil. But listen to the scripture. God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Does that say you've got to get good enough so you can receive His love? No, it says, just like you and I, just like we are, just as we are, He comes for us. 5, verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by His life." You surrender to Jesus, you're not an enemy, but He's also now outrageously all-knowing. Anybody ever got into a crowd and wish you could be hidden? Come on, you know what I mean? I'd like to be a little invisible right now. Don't you think that's probably how Peter felt after he had denied Jesus? I just like to disappear. Shame. I'm ashamed of myself. I don't want to be seen. But Jesus knows you. And He died for you. And He rose again for you. And He's all-knowing, and He even knows your name. My name? Yep, He knows your name. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Watch Mark 16. "And entering the tomb, after they heard the report, the outrageous news, they run to the tomb. They saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But He said to them, 'Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen.'" Come on, say that with me. He is risen. He's not here. "See the place. See the place where they laid Him. But watch this. But go tell His disciples." Would you please read that with me? "And Peter." Peter probably wanted to sit down and disappear. He denied the Lord, his very best friend. He denied Him. He told people, "I don't know this man." I'm sure he wanted to disappear. And Jesus, same one who tore that robe or that veil, the same one who moves to you and to me, says, "Now go tell my disciples, by the way, since I know how he's feeling right now, tell him I talked about him by name." And Peter. Go tell Peter I was asking about him. Go tell you, your friends, your family. Go tell that person, "Hey, Jesus was asking about you this morning. I was on my knees in prayer for you, and Jesus said, 'Yeah, but what about Mary? What about Bob? What about?'" He knows your name. Outrageously all-knowing, when you try to disappear from Him, you just can't do it. "Tell His disciples and Peter that He's going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him as He said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled. They were trembling and they were amazed. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word amazed, the Greek word amazed is ekstasis, and it means displacement of the mind. They literally were bewildered. So no wonder the guys thought the ladies were crazy. And the gals looked at the guys and said, no, it's you. You're the crazy one. But they were afraid. Again, the Greek word phobeo, to frighten, be alarmed. When someone knew them by name, and his precious name is Jesus, wouldn't you be afraid? Wouldn't you? I would. But Jesus is all-knowing, all-powerful, outrageously full of power. And then he sees you and knows you right now, right this moment. Peter probably didn't want to be seen right then, but watch. Two words changed Peter forever. And Peter. Go tell my disciples. And Peter. I want you to read this out loud. And I want you to fill in your name instead of seeing Peter's name there. Would you? Join me for a moment. Two words changed him forever. And Kevin. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you. He loves you so much. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows what you've done, what you might be ashamed of, what you're afraid to admit or face. He sees you right now. And he loves you so much that he went to the cross for you. For me, and he says, come. He extends his scarred arms and hands to you and says, come. I love you this much. It takes understanding that he's the Savior, that I'm a sinner. I ask him to forgive me, to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. But how many understand that forgiveness is not just for when you give your life to the Lord, but even after you keep walking with the Lord? Anybody in this room still need forgiveness? And he still says, add your name, but... Say it. Add Kevin. Now, that made real sense, didn't it? I did that really well, didn't I? Did that? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. For God so loved the world. Read it with me, please. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So all these outrageous things, and he's outrageously all-knowing, and now we have outrageous proof. Luke 24:12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what happened. In the Message version, that says, he walked away puzzled, shaking his head. Mary Magdalene tells them, but they don't believe. Two disciples are walking on the road with Jesus after his resurrection, and he walks with them and talks about Jesus from the scriptures. He breaks bread with them, but they were in a state of disbelief until the breaking of bread. How many know discouragement of soul stops revelation? Discouragement of soul stops your eyes from being able to see the love of God for you. Luke 22:24, I'm sharing a lot of scripture this morning because this is the best story there is. This is outrageous news, comes straight from the Word of God. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they'd also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Mark 16:14. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, I got to admit in my own life, if I don't pay attention to the thing my wife has been trying to tell me, she might try to warn me, she might try to speak something. If I don't pay attention, guys, can you agree with me that I usually then end up like a dork in trouble? God's yoked you together and put friends in your life or your spouse or your loved one in your life to help you. And I could be the first one to admit, dork, dork, dork. You know, you walk away going, if I'd only paid attention. And my wife's sweet enough to not look at me and say, I told you so. God is good. Then there's Thomas. a lot like us. John 20:25-29. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, real man of faith and power here. "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now listen, I just made fun of them. I don't make fun of this man in real life. I really don't. Because a lot of us are right there. If I don't see it for myself, I don't get it. I don't accept it. And the Lord's good enough to meet us where we are. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, "Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here.'" You think Jesus was listening? "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus knows you. He is outrageously all-knowing. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
It's finished. It's finished. What does this mean? You've heard the word. I'm going to take a few minutes and talk what some of you might have heard about before. It's a little Greek word only used twice in the New Testament. When Jesus gave up his life, he cried out, "It is finished." And that word in the Greek literally is tetelestai. Tetelestai. Can you say that with me? Tetelestai. Now, you might have heard that pronounced differently. And some say tetelestai, et cetera, pronunciations. But for the purpose of this morning, where we're going, tetelestai is what I'm going to use. And it comes from the Greek word teleo. And it means to come to an end, to complete, to execute, conclude, to discharge fully, to accomplish. And let me tell you how this word is used. Number one, it's used of servants. Of servants. A servant used tetelestai when reporting back to his master, "I have completed, tetelestai, the work assigned to me." That's used of priests, and they would examine animals for blemishes before they were sacrificed. And if that lamb was faultless, perfect, and acceptable, the priest would say it with me, tetelestai. Artists used this word. Artists did. When the painter or the sculptor had put the last finishing touches on the work he was working with, on the landscape or the marble bust, he would step back a few feet, look it over very carefully, and if it was done, he would admire the masterpiece, seeing nothing that needed to be improved, and he would murmur fondly, "Tetelestai, tetelestai. It's completed. It's finished." Merchants would use this word. When a promissory note was paid, the one holding the note would write, say it with me, tetelestai, across the top. A deed to property was not in effect until it was dated and signed. And when it was accomplished, the person wrote, say it with me, tetelestai, across the deed. When someone had a debt and it was paid off, the creditor would write tetelestai on the certificate of debt, signifying that it was paid in full. When a Roman citizen was convicted of a crime, he was thrown into a prison. A certificate of debt listing all his crimes were nailed to his cell door so that anyone passing by would know exactly what he had been accused of and what the penalty was that was assessed. When the prisoner had served fully his sentence and was released from that bondage, the indictment was taken down from the door. The judge who had put him in prison would sign the indictment and write across it the word tetelestai. The freed prisoner was then given this document. And if he was ever stopped by the authorities and questioned as to why he was out of jail, he could pull the document out upon which was written the word tetelestai with the judge's name, and it guaranteed his remaining at liberty. And the charges for which he had paid his price and charges for those crimes could never again be brought against him. Conquering generals would return from victory on the battlefield, and they'd parade their captives of war out in front of them in the streets of Rome. And he proclaimed his victory by shouting, say it with me, tetelestai, tetelestai. It was a clear statement that it was mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. And that's the word Jesus uses from the cross when he says, it is finished. It's complete. It's perfect. It's faultless. The debt is canceled and finished. It's paid in full. The work is complete. Say it with me. The work is complete. The price is paid in full. Mission accomplished. Now, what do we do with this outrageous news? What do we do with Jesus? Church, we give him away. Come on. We give him away. Jesus came, tore a veil, impaled on a cross, said, Father, forgive them. And then he declared, it is finished. He died, was buried, and then he rose again. He said, it is finished. Now, go give him away. Mark 16 tells us the scriptures and the instruction. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them who believe. They will, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Give me just a couple minutes more, a couple of great things yet. How many know one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection that took place was the utter and complete change that took place in the lives of his disciples? Where before they cowered in an upper room thinking they were next, now they begin to go out on the streets, and it didn't matter if they were beaten, if they were arrested, if they ran into problems, they just kept going to give Jesus away because he had totally changed their lives. Mark 16:20, and Jim, if you would come on up and get the microphone, I'm going to have Jim read another section of scripture after I finish this one from Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
From Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end of the age.
Powerful. Thank you, Jim. I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. Church, Jesus is the Savior. Come on, Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Forgiver. Jesus is the Baptizer. Jesus is full of mercy and grace and truth. And he washed you by his blood and he loves you. And he rose again from the dead. And he's given us a reason for hope and joy and life and love. And the reason we celebrate Easter is not just to wear hats and sing old songs, but because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus is alive. Someone say amen. The evangelist Alexander Wooten was approached by a young man who asked, "What must I do to be saved?" He'd come under powerful conviction, knowing he needed help, forgiveness, and the Lord. "What must I do to be saved?" And Wooten replied, "It's too late." The young man became alarmed, his eyes full of fear, and he said, "You mean it's too late for me to be saved? Is there nothing I can do?" Wooten replied, "It's too late. It's already been done. It's finished. It's all done. The only thing you can do is believe." Would you stand with me, church? If you're here this morning and you haven't yet chosen to believe, you have a God who loves you so. And Roxanne, don't worry, I will have them sit down again because we have something to finish with. But I wanted you to stand before the Lord. Here we stand this morning in Port Ludlow. Some of you from Port Townsend, Paulsbo, Port Hadlock, Chemicum, Irondale. Some of you from other places, Squim, Port Angeles. We've gathered here this morning in this place because we love this one who first loved us. Happy Easter, church. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We understand the resurrection of Jesus. It's good news. It's great news. Someone say with me, it's outrageous news. Business is just hang on. If you'll sit down again, I've got something to take a few minutes of your time, then we'll sing and close. This is incredible. I love this. So, don't know what your plans are today. Hope you have great plans. But most of all, when you leave this place, go with the joy of the Lord. Look at each other throughout the day, if you think of it, and say, "Man, it's outrageous news, isn't it?" If you have guests and friends and family, just surprise them. Turn to each other in front of them and say, "It's outrageous news." And then when they say, "What are you talking about? You're crazy," say, "It's because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus." Amen. Lord, as we stand before you this morning, we are so grateful for everything you have done. We pray, O Lord, as everyone leaves this place, they will understand how outrageously great you are and the great outrageous work that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy on our lives. If you've not given your life to the Lord, I just want everybody to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. And right now by faith, as I repent and turn away from those things, I receive your forgiveness. I receive you as Lord of my life. You died, you were buried, and you rose again from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. Go in his joy. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one more. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord bless you on this Resurrection Sunday. We invite you back to be with us next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock as we celebrate in his presence together. Thank you for being here. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. He is risen. One more time. He's risen. He's risen indeed. God bless you. Be released.